Okay, we're going to try something different with this episode of Movie Pipe. I'm going to talk about the movie, but I'm not going to tell you what the movie is until the very, very end. So you can skip to the end and hear what the movie is, because I haven't written it on the... I didn't type it into the title of the episode. So the episode will probably... Because I haven't written that yet, because I record it first, and then I'll write the show notes. But the title of the episode will probably be something like, I'm not going to tell you the name of this movie, guess the movie. You can skip to the end if you can't be bothered to wait. Anyway, so I'm going to talk about this movie, and you won't get it. I don't care how clever you think you are, you're not going to get this one. Okay, and it is real, it's a real movie, because I had some feedback on the last episode, well, the episode previous to this on the timeline, if you're following along chronologically, Only a Baby Elephant Will Do, the 1945 Kirk Douglas and Harrison Ford drama. There was numerous complaints. I got several faxes. Well, my assistant printed out several facts from listeners, pipeheads, who dispute the existence of that movie. So, you know, that happened. And I've got to say, if you think I've got the time, the energy, and frankly, the creativity to come up with an entirely fabricated movie on the fly, in real time, fully improvised, for the purpose of comedic effect, you, my dear pipeheads, are clearly, clearly mistaken. Only a Baby Elephant Will Do, the 1945 Kirk Douglas movie, there with a Harrison Ford performance of a three-year-old. It's a real movie, okay? You can't find it on the internet. Some things you can't find on the internet, all right? And I did say at the very beginning of that episode, if you remember listening to it, I did say it's very, 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 very rare, okay? So maybe stop Googling things halfway through a podcast and just fucking listen to it. Anyway, I digress. I'm not going to give you the name of this movie that I'm talking about, but I will tell you, it does star Mel Gibson. It does star Sigourney Weaver. It's set in the 60s in Indonesia. Gibson is a journalist, Australian journalist, sent to Indonesia. Sorry, my dinner is repeating on me. Because I've come for a walk after dinner, as you do, to aid in the digestion of said dinner. And it's now repeating on me, dear pipeheads, so I do apologise if this episode is a little more gaseous than usual. Okay, Gibson, Weaver, it's early 60s, it's Indonesia. Gibson's a journalist, he's been sent by the Australian Broadcasting Service to cover a political coup happening at the very top of the government in Indonesia. He begins an affair with Weaver's character. She plays a British diplomat's assistant, so she's all kind of entangled in the political goings-on of the country. It's all set on this backdrop of upheaval, uprising. The atmosphere of the movie is pretty incredible, and I think that's something Peter Weir, the director, is another clue of what the name of this movie might be. Peter Weir, the director, he has this skill, talent of sort of rendering his stories in this very tense soup of tense soup. That doesn't work as a metaphor, does it? You can't have tense soup. How is soup tense? I mean, it's fucking viscous, for Christ's sake. Anyway, a tense atmosphere. How about that? Weir renders this movie in a tense atmosphere. It feels real. The characters moving through it feel instinctive. The way it's scripted, the way it's shot, some of the scenes feel improvised. I don't think they are, but there's an instinctive quality to how the actors are acting, behaving, responding to what's happening. And it uses a lot of you know, local non-actors basically. I think they've pulled in people from the street, so again it gives that sort of realism. I know there's a word for this in the movie circles. I think it's verisimilitude or something like that. Will know because he studied movies for about 2 months at university. Anyway, so it's rendered against this very believable backdrop, and you know, initially you think it's about Gibson trying to find the story, but really this movie is all about subtext. It's all about puppets. And why do I say that? Because the movie starts with puppets, with shadow puppets, a traditional Indonesian shadow puppet show. So that instantly creates a scene, the tone of where Weir, the director, is trying to take this. And whilst you're watching events play out, and there's acting and there's scenes and there's dialogue, really what you're watching is a giant subtext of, it's a commentary on puppetry, the control of information, the control of society, the engineering, the manipulation of truth and facts. And every character in this movie is to some extent subject to this manipulation, this puppetry, either by you know, sort of unseen, unknown forces, or from very real, very apparent methods, some of which the audience is aware of and the actors aren't until later on, which sort of creates this, again, adds to the tension, but does create a very satisfying sort of crescendo to events, unexpected as well, by the way. And there's one character who you meet, and their physical appearance, and I know that this movie is based, adapted from a book, and I have zero working knowledge of book, of said book, so I don't know how accurate the portrayal of this character is, but I'm assuming it's taken straight from the novel. And this person has a very unusual physical appearance, which is totally juxtaposed to the influence they have on other characters and the sort of, I guess, patriarch that they are constantly having to navigate and work within, however, are skilled at manipulating. So it's sort of like juxtaposition between the physical appearance, the perception of weakness, yet it's kind of inversely proportional to their power and their influence. So that's like a really interesting story device, and one which, you know, it kind of puts you, it sort of just off, puts you off. It kind of puts you off center, so you're not quite sure how to read or manage that character. And they do things which suggest they're more than just what they're shown as, which is a photojournalist. They keep a journal, diaries, and files on everybody they meet. There's a lovely sort of narration that happens throughout the movie, where this character is sort of reading from their file on the character, other characters, Weaver and Gibson, which gives you an inkling that there's something else going on, but it's never quite resolved. You're never quite sure exactly what other motives or agendas this character has. So it's kind of mysterious. But again, it's all about playing with and manipulating information. Even the structure of the movie, the way the movie is shown to you, the way you watch it, is manipulating you. So the very art, the craft of the movie manipulates information and puppetrizes, it's not a word, I just made it up, right? Puppetrizes the audience. So you are now being manipulated, which all movies manipulate you emotionally, psychologically, whatever. That's kind of almost their job, is to manage, change, alter your mood, your reality, which is why movies are amazing. And so I think I haven't given the name away yet, and I'm now, as I'm myself improvising, I'm not going to tell you the name of the movie. And I think that's me manipulating and managing and puppeteurizing you, dear pipehead. You're a puppet head.